Hi and hello, Czech Republic. You know, in order to support the DDFP, we need the help of some great advertisers. And in order to find great advertisers, we'll need to learn a little bit more about you. So please, go to podsurvey.com/Damashek, Dameshek, and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you a little better. That way we can show advertisers just how great our listeners are. Even if you've taken a podcast listener survey before, this one is specific to the DDFP, so we really appreciate you taking it. And when I say we, I mean me and Maurice. That's specifically the two care. Colleen Wolf, more apathetic about it. Plus, once you've completed the survey, you can enter to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Woohoo! Again, that's podsurvey.com/Dameshek, Dameshek. Thanks again for your help. Now,
going to the hurry-up offense.
Yes, it's time for the hurry-up. Andy Reid style. Maurice Jones-Drew, Colleen Wolf along. We will say proper hellos in a minute, but we haven't a moment to spare. Except to say this, the Czech report for week two is out. Maurice Jones-Drew and Ike Taylor figure prominently in there. Ooh. And they're almost collision, but one of the two guys didn't want any part of colliding with the other one. You'll have to watch. There are some other good things there. Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern is the first showing of four of the weekly NFL Pick'em show. Track that down on NFL Network. Get right. Learn all the winners before the games are played. Now, let's get to it. Colleen Wolf, I'll start with you. Which, I really should start with Maurice, but ladies first.
Okay, this
which Jags are the real Jags? Ah. 2 weeks in, the week one, dominant, going to Houston, shut them down, or the week two, a Jags that allowed 37 to the Titans?
You're really setting me up here with MJD just giving me the look right next to me, but I was so excited week one. They were calling it Saxonville, 10 sacks. Calais Campbell looked great. And then you have Leonard Fournette, who just, he's a beast out there. Like you, and I hate saying that. I hate saying he's a beast, but he was a monster. Like you could just
have
giving
him
the ball.
Better. He's not a beast now.
I like a monster
more
better.
More general monster.
Monster's right. A little bit better. But the problem is you cannot mask the fact that Blake Bortles is not a good quarterback. And if they don't jump out to an early lead, then they're not going to be able to
win games. Ryan Nassib's there now to fix it all.
Oh, yeah.
Maurice.
Week two. That's the team. When you play, you're not going to play offensive lines like the Texans each week. I mean, we saw how bad they were Thursday night. But when you play the Tennessee Titans, you have a pretty decent offensive line. Their defense can only do so much. You have to score points in this league. So it was 3-3 until about the third quarter, and the defense got worn down. They had an extra third down there. Mariota's able to go down the field, and then there it was. It just opened the floodgates. It went from what? It was like 3-3 to like 30-3 at one point.
And yeah.
So I think that a lot of those issues come from Blake Bortles. I mean, we have to call that out there. You go and sign Ryan Nassib, but Nassib, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Nassib, yeah.
Remember, he was going to be an NFL starting QB when he was at the Cuse. Everybody got excited about him in his senior year.
Well, he was with Doug Marrone, and then Tom Coughlin drafted him, so it makes sense for him to be in Jack.
Yeah.
But he's not the answer. You need a quarterback. You have to go find a quarterback that can win games either with his legs or with his arm. Something to keep that offense on the field.
You know, I brought this up on the Czech Report. Yes, the crummy quarterback play in the NFL, you know, as I always say, 7 billion human beings, we can't find 32 of them to properly play NFL quarterback. It's vexing, and especially when you consider everybody knows there's a guy out on the street, you know, his political and social views aren't exactly for everybody, I suppose, and he's not a perfect answer in every NFL system, but the Night King from north of the wall, White Walkers, I mean, that guy, he's money. He went into frigid temps.
Yeah.
He can play under, he can play in the wintry climes.
Leader of dead people.
That's right. Yeah, he's a quiet leader.
But you know what, but seriously though, Colin Kaepernick, I know there's people in Jacksonville that are literally crying for them to go do research and bring him in because they know that with him, you can run the ball more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your defense wouldn't be on the field all the time. And he's better than what you have there. I mean, point blank period. Both of those guys. Listen, Blake Bortles, we know what he is. He turns the ball over. Some people are just, that's who they are. You can continue to say, oh, we want to use him. We want to do this. When I was in Jacksonville and we were doing inside training camp, they said our season is going to be on his back. That's what everybody knew. Well, you were able to hide him the first week.
Mm-hmm.
now you've kind of been exposed by the Titans. What do you think is going to happen when you play the Ravens in London?
I mean, he had 41 passing yards at the half, two interceptions. His quarterback rating was like 16. It was so bad. Are you seriously not going to give your team a chance all of these resources into your team in the offseason?
It is a bummer. You know, the cons obviously want a winner. The fans want a winner. It feels almost vaguely disrespectful to the roster to say, yep.
Yeah.
This is a legitimate playoff contending roster minus the most important position on the field. And I know it's simplistic, but the recipe that made Colin Kaepernick one throw away from winning the Super Bowl seems to kind of exist in Jacksonville. At least you have the dominant defense. You have the powerhouse running back. The offensive line isn't as good, but it seems like
even
with drop Kaepernick in there, they would be better served with that. He's not, and stop the jive. You know, no jive in Studio 66. No one's saying he's as good as Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady.
No.
We're just saying he's better than Blake Bortles.
Ryan Nassib.
Right.
All I'm saying is a running quarterback. We played against Vince Young when he was with the Titans, and that running quarterback pushed them to 8-8 and almost got him in a playoff spot. Then they went to the playoffs the next year with a running quarterback. Now, he couldn't throw the ball, but that ability to take off and run, it hurts the defense. It stresses the defense enough where you can do a little play-action pass and dink it off, or Leonard Fournette can give you the 100 yards a game, 150 yards a game that you're looking for.
Ike Taylor, by the way, coming up. We just go on the Jags with Maurice, so it makes sense that Ike Taylor will talk a little bit of Pittsburgh Steelers football, sitting at 2-0. Although some people in black and gold country, kind of wringing their hands. You have a little preview for you what we talk about. Lighten up, everybody. They're 2-0. That's what you want to be. They don't have to be putting 48 points on the board in September. They need to win games. Next up, speaking of teams that are 2-0 and otherwise, who's the best? We'll do each record that's available. 2-0, 1-1, 0-2. Who's the best 2-0 team right now, Maurice?
The Falcons.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
I like the Chiefs a lot. But I think the Falcons handedly whooped the Packers. I mean, that was something.
But the Bears almost beat them week one.
Week one's an anomaly. Week one is like no one knows what you're really about to do, so you're just kind of going out there blind a little bit. But for them to go out there and beat Aaron Rodgers the way they beat Aaron Rodgers and that Packers team, I know a lot of guys got hurt, but they did what they wanted to against them, and it really scared me.
I am with you, Maurice. I had an epiphany about a week or so before the season kicked off, and I realized – that's just a storyline that we follow. And there is some evidence over the last decade that if you are the Super Bowl runner-up, you tend to have the much ballyhooed hangover. But it occurred to me that defense has gotten better. Vic Beasley now down for a month. But still, defense is better, young, fast, and now you still have that offense.
They had 21 of their 22 starters come back, and the only guy they didn't was the fullback.
That's it.
To me is terrifying. When you have the same group of guys that just went to the Super Bowl come back, and then they did the whole embrace the suck thing and all that. Like, that's hot, but you have the same guys coming back, so there's no one relearning anything. You've added pieces onto that throughout the draft and obviously free agency, but you're literally about to go out there with the same group of guys that you did the year before. They're a scary team.
I was a little worried about that offense the first week, about the play calling and whether or not Steve Sarkisian was going to be able to do the same thing that Kyle Shanahan was able to do. Looked fine. Week two, not a problem at all.
I'm going to go with my I hear you on the Falcons, absolutely. I am fascinated by what could be a three-way chase in that NFC South if the Bucs are for real and the Panthers continue to play defense the way they have in the first couple of weeks. Superman's only going to get better. Fascinating stuff there. I'm going to go with the Oakland Raiders. Big bounce back from Derek Carr. They're on a mission. Probably feel like they left something on the table when Carr went down last year. They're looking good. The Wolf, how say you?
I like the Chiefs. I feel like that. I've been listening to you a lot.
The Chiefs are good, man.
You've been chirping about the Chiefs since before the season started.
Yeah, and you're right.
They look great. Kareem Hunt is a superstar.
I agree, but no Eric Berry seems to put a ceiling on how far they can go. That said, Justin Houston, this sounds hyperbolic, but is he the biggest superstar who is the least known in the NFL? Is that a good way to describe? I feel like a lot of people don't know Justin Houston.
In the locker room, you know him.
Because
every time you go, like when we would play the Chiefs, and they were like building up, they'd be like, all right, 50 is the guy you have to make sure we take care of. The rest of them dudes, like even when Tom Bali, and we have to make sure we get 50 because 50 can change the game immediately.
Yeah.
He'll either hit your quarterback and then Eric Berry get a pick, or he'll strip sack. Like, he's a guy you have to worry about. Then they add a young D Ford. I mean, so they're a team, yes. I just didn't like the way they played against the Eagles. I just thought the Eagles were able to score too much and have too many big plays against that defense.
Oh, I really am tempted to say the Eagles are the best 1-1 team. So let's do that one. The Patriots are probably everybody's answer. But if it makes it makes you feel better, you can skip the Patriots if you want. Who's the second best 1-1 team, the Wolf?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think.
We didn't even talk about the Broncos either. Being too
The Broncos look really good, and they're super fun to watch. That run game looks awesome, and their run defense is so improved.
I think the Cowboys are bad against the run is the issue. But I perennially am kind of down on them because the most important position is filled by Trevor Siemian there, and he looks good.
He has some moxie.
I know he does. Yeah. He stands in there. He'll stand in there with a guy right in his face and still make the throw. A lot of QBs do not like that.
An incredible secondary. Their pass rushers are always swarming. They can stop the run now. And then the offense looks like it's clicking. I really like the Broncos.
All right, well,
I know that's not answering
though.
The question.
You skipped that. Go ahead, if you're buying time, Maurice,
I'll go 1-1. I will go. It's after the Patriots, right?
Well, if you want to say the Patriots, that's fine. It's a cheap answer.
The Patriots are definitely the best 1-1 team.
So we're going to say after the Patriots.
Let's say
so we don't have everybody on our back. I will go with
couple good answers.
The Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
You weren't bothered by Zeke's quit and Byron Jones quit.
Man, they were getting ran out the building. You got to try to get out. Get you know, the fans can leave early. Why can't the players?
I agree with this, and I argue with a lot of players about this. As soon as the game is decided, win or lose, if you're up like a couple of times.
I was just joking, right? Like, you got to play to the very end. But I can see, understand what you're... But no, I...
Not me. If I were a head coach, I'd clear... I'm talking with Ike about that in a minute.
If I'm a head coach, I would definitely clear the...
My starting quarterback would not be in a game that is probably in hand, right?
Yeah, so, but I think, again, for me, after that whooping they took, you got to expect them to bounce back in a certain manner. In a certain way, and so I think that's what they'll do. They're not going to play a defense like the Broncos ever again. They handily whooped the Giants defense, which we found out isn't as good as we thought they were. So I think they're still going to be the cream of the crop in the AFC in the NFC East. I'm sorry, and so I think they'll be the best team going forward.
Can you imagine the Chargers are again 0-2? It's just crazy. The Broncos should be 1-1. Poor Koo misses that kick. We're missing two kicks in 2 weeks. It's heartbreaking stuff.
The Packers.
Packers are a great answer. I'm going with my preseason prediction to win the Super Bowl, the Seattle Seahawks. This is what they do. I used to get duped by this. I no longer do as of 2016.
Okay.
This is what they do. They come out of the game. They're a little out of the gate. They're a little sluggish. It takes a while for Tom Cable to fix that offensive lineup. They never address it in the draft perennially. Now they have the injuries there. I still say that defense is going to dominate. Russell Wilson will figure it out. That's going to be a team that they're going to run away with.
Not so fast, my friend. I don't think they're going to run away with that division. That offensive line, he is running for his life.
Yeah, kind of, but who's going to catch him practically?
I don't know, but I just have a feeling
ain't gonna be the
Seahawks
Niners.
Aren't the same team as we thought they were. You took away another one of his passing threats in Jermaine Kearse, who had a big day in Oakland.
Yeah, he looks good with Tyrod. Yeah,
right? Or no, he's with the Jets. With Josh.
McCown,
Oh, my gosh.
Best 0-2 team, or do you want to quickly just tell me who the worst 0-2 team is?
Giants.
The Giants look horrendous.
Really?
Saints.
Worse than the
Jets?
Saints are the worst.
That's my worst.
They're going to be some interesting. All this stuff with the Jets and with the the Niners, who's going to get Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. Don't be so quick, because there are going to be some teams that sometimes are in the playoff mix that might be fighting for one of those guys.
The Saints' defense.
Oh, my God.
I've been trying to fix that for 7 years.
I said it 3 years ago, and now history proves me correct. They should have gotten rid of Drew Brees, which isn't to say Drew Brees is bad. They're so bad everywhere else. They're not anywhere close to getting to a Super Bowl. Get him. Get some draft picks back.
And they got rid of their best offensive weapon, Brandon Cooks.
If I was the Jags, because they have so much cap space, I would go and do that.
Yeah.
Right. I said that I advocated for the Jets to do that 2 years ago. They didn't listen. Let's start the show.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Yes, it's the Dave Dameshek Football Program, and we have much to get to here. Our beloved, for those that are experiencing the Q&A, people are enjoying our when we open up our ears to you, the Czech Republic, and to, you know, if that includes players in the NFL, they shoot us their Qs, we give them our A's, and that's that. We encourage you, nay, demand that you track it down on Facebook. We try to clip it off the 15 minutes or so that we do every week and post it. So give that
a
look.
Do a good job of that too.
Yeah. Before we say hello to the people sitting in 66 right now, let's reacquaint ourselves with number 24 of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ike Taylor.
Yeah. Ike Taylor, I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R.
Born in Gretna, that's in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Walked on in college, drafted to PA.
That's right.
Number 24 has got opinions for days.
Uh-huh.
I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R. Ike Taylor.
All right, a quick check-in now. We haven't had nearly enough Ike Taylor on the DDFP so far this season, IT. You're too big now.
We're going to change that. This is where I started, Shaq. Shaq, you got me here.
Mm-hmm. This is I'm sort of like your Louisiana Lafayette.
For all you viewers who don't know, Shaq vouched for me to come here, and you see what I'm doing. He hit the number one draft pick, and I'm looking good. I'm making him looking good too, baby.
Well, anyway, let's what happened. Let's talk about the present and maybe more importantly to the Pittsburgh Steelers and the rest of the AFC, the near future, the next 14 games of regular season and hopefully beyond for Steelers fans. Let's do Ike's Corner and stay close to home with you, number 24,
right,
as the third best cornerback in Super Bowl era history for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What would you do if you had to play the Steelers right now and you saw the best receiver in the NFL lined up on one side and Martavis Bryant? How best to attack that? Or I'm sorry, how best to stop them from attacking you, I guess.
You got to understand they're going to make their play. You got to understand AB is going to get his attempts. Ben is going to look for AB. You got to pick and choose and got to understand Martavis is going deep. You got to find out when. And they're going to show that through formations. So if I know down and distances, formation-wise, a turnover, if I know that Pittsburgh got a turnover, I know the second down snap will be a deep ball play.
Hmm.
Automatically. Peep it out. I'm
really
telling you.
Interesting.
If Pittsburgh have an interception, cause a sack fumble, get the ball, not first down, but a second and three, a second and four, watch out for the deep ball. I'm telling you. They saying Romo is a genius. I think I am too.
I you know what? I've sat there with you and watched you play this game too. You were doing the Romo trick before Romo was up in the booth. I agree with you.
Did I not call Jared Goff yesterday?
You did. You called Jared Goff throwing the pick six a second before it wasn't a pick six. You said he's going to throw the game away, get picked off with less than 2 minutes. That's exactly how it played out. But with what the Steelers are doing, there's really no – I almost feel like you're not giving away too much of what Todd Haley and Roethlisberger wants to do, because there's no stopping that, right? If you have Martavis Bryant and you throw the deep ball – only, you know, as they say, when you're good at that, if you're Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, Brandon Marshall, and I think you can include Martavis Bryant in this group, three things theoretically can happen. It can go incomplete, it could get intercepted, or it could be caught by your receiver. Well, when you have those high-end guys, those tall guys who know how to go up and get it and high point the ball, the interception never happens. They know they're capable of keeping you from intercepting.
As a defender, a lot of teams don't have the personnel. Denver has the personnel. Seattle has the front seven to get to the quarterback. But other than those two teams, a hot Atlanta, when they're healthy, have a good front seven to get to the quarterback to make the block hot, corners get to sit. But other than that, I don't see, other than Denver, any other team having the personnel that can play the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And yet, any concern, go ahead and try and ease the nerves of Steelers fans who are quietly, even though the team is 2-0, that's where you want to be, everybody. Relax yourselves. This is a long haul through the season here. We're just getting going here. But there are Steelers fans out there saying, like, huh, how come they're not putting up 30 a game with all the firepower they have?
You don't need to. Don't forget, it's been a long time since A.B., Martavis, and Le'Veon been on the field at the same time. You know? At the same time. For the course of 6 games. I don't know where they've been on the field for 6 games straight. They haven't. So, it's new to Ben. It's new to Coach Ty Haley. It's new to A.B. It's new to Martavis. It's new. So, Ty, like, okay, when should I feed who at what time? Has a good problem. Ty Haley has a good problem this year. So the receiving core, then you got a young Juju. I said it, he's a more athletic version than Hines Ward, and he's showing it. Mm-hmm. He's blocking his butt off. He's going across the middle, catching passes, and you saw that shovel pass.
I like anybody who's that unironically enthusiastic to be playing pro football. Good for him. He's enjoying himself so far.
I was there for training camp. I didn't know that man had that much size. Mm-hmm. On him. Like, he's a thick.
He's built like a man, even though he's a kid.
He's built like LeBron. A shorter version of LeBron. Mm. Now, picture LeBron being your third receiver. A shorter version. 6'2.5".
Do guys – the thing that strikes me, is it possible, or is this just foolishness from somebody who isn't around those – does Mike Tomlin say to Todd Haley, or does Todd Haley say to Roethlisberger, let's not open up the whole bag yet. We got a lot of way to go. We don't want to show everything that we're doing here before September's out. Does that sort of thing happen?
Nah, you. That's Todd Haley's offense. It's 7 big.
So they're
offense.
Showing everything they have.
Nah, you go by what the defense give you. So what's the defensive game plan for today? They won't stop the pass. All right, let's run the ball. So what's the defensive game plan the next week? Hey, Coach Haley, it looks like they're trying to stop the run. Okay, well, let's pass the ball. So you just got to pick and choose. It's something like a boxer. You got to get a feel for what that defense wants to stop that week. So once Coach Ty Haley, after that first quarter, he got his plays. He checking down. This play was successful. This play was successful. We ran this on first and second down. This is what they did to us on first and second down. So they get to adjust in that second half. They know exactly what they want to do. So I don't want them cooking right now. You say it best. I'm cool with these 17, 13. A W is a W.
That's right.
And right now, you don't want to be peaking right now. I want to be peaking when it's cold. I want Le'Veon to be rushing for 130 yards in November and December. That's what I really
want.
That's
why I said to you on Sunday, listen, they're up a couple of touchdowns. There's 7 minutes left. Take out all the starters. That's what I don't want, Ike.
I can't do that.
I know you don't like that, but I'm fatalistic. I don't want to see them get hurt. If I were an NFL head coach, my team goes up in the fourth quarter by a couple of touchdowns. Like, all right, starters, here you go. So we don't want a Derek Carr situation.
So we're going back to the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl deal. You go up a couple of touchdowns, then all your starters.
They didn't sit Matt, but they didn't put. They didn't say Matt Ryan sit down.
No.
You're saying that it feeds that psychology.
Why? So I sit him down. I sit him down now. He got everything. He got his shoulder pads off. Got his helmets off. Then the back man is drinking Cokes and
I
eat
see
chips.
What
like, well, I'm gonna do. Oh,
so that's real. Yeah. You can't once you gear down, it's hard to gear back up.
There is no gearing up once you gear down.
Interesting. Great stuff from number 24. Watch him on Good Morning Football, the weekend edition with our pal, the Wolf, Colleen Wolf. Yes. Mike Robb's out there with you doing great
Mike
stuff.
Mike Garafolo.
Mike Garafolo's a delightful right. soul. Yeah, what a great day. Thanks for the invite. I like all those people, but I can't hang out with everybody. Invitation must have gotten lost in the mail.
You gotta tell the producer, Sheck, stop playing with you and invite you over though.
You know what? I'm not gonna beg. I don't need you.
See, catching them temper tantrums. That's why they're not gonna give you no invite.
Let's just move along. Good to see you, Ike. We'll see
Likewise,
you soon.
Sheck. Appreciate you. Yeah.
I like that Ike Taylor, and I don't care what you say about him, Maurice.
What are you talking about? I love Ike Taylor.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, because we're on the air. Right? Yeah, oh, yeah, Marie, you love Ike. Yeah, right, I forgot.
Shaq, don't do that stuff. That's how things start.
Let's say hello to him now. I mentioned earlier, as if you didn't know this already, he was on the Jaguars, he was on the Bruins, he was on the Raiders, and now he is the radio voice doing analysis for your Los Angeles Rams. It's Maurice Jones-Drew, everybody.
Oh.
Straight out of Oakland, that's where he's born and grown. Drafted by the Jaguars, addicted to the
end zone. That's enough. He's addicted to the end zone. You blah, blah, blah. You know the rest. Next up, let's say hello to the emerging star on the sports media landscape. It's not just here at NFL Media. She is one of the breakout stars of 2017.
Wow. Everywhere.
I hear she may.
High praise.
I hear she's in consideration to host next year's Emmys.
Ooh.
It could happen. Now, you
That's
watch
how it
her.
Starts.
Good Morning Football, the weekend edition, yep. the power rankings. Oh, with Maurice Jones-Drew.
That's right.
Maurice also players only on Friday nights. Oh, I'm surrounded by the stars. I can barely once again look in that direction.
You need sunglasses?
Yes, I really may start to do it. In the meantime, let's say hello to Philadelphia's own Colleen Wolf.
A Philly girl from the very start. You know Rocky Balboa and the Museum of Art.
Yeah, we know about Philadelphia. It's enough. We have stuff to do. We have a moment to waste
album.
It.
That album right there. We got to put that album out there on iTunes.
We really do. The Dick download. Banks
awesome.
Intro song. Now, The Wolf, did you get any pushback? Well, I know on Twitter that your old man, John Gonzalez, who you can follow his pages at The Ringer and he does his own podcast and everything else. He didn't take kindly to the public admittance by you that he sometimes wears a tank top.
Oh my God, you don't understand.
That was everywhere.
What this started. So it's not necessarily a tank top, it's more of an undershirt. I feel like we did not really clear that up as well as I should have. But I walked in my house last week and he was like, "I don't wear undershirts, and if I do, they're black."
Oh, that's even worse.
Listen.
Is it a good look, though, The Wolf? You're a woman. You know John Gonzalez. Is that a good look?
Yeah, he's a handsome guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. I don't know. He seems handsome.
He's handsome.
Is he?
He's handsome to Colleen. That's all that matters.
That's right.
All right.
But she doesn't like his under tank tops. Shirts.
Wow.
Whatever. I don't know. It's the tank tops, undershirts,
and
whatever.
Then
it's sort of all the same.
John Gonzalez is considered a handsome devil. Is that universally so?
I think he's handsome.
Emma VP behind the glass. John Gonzalez is a handsome devil?
Sure.
Oh! May as well just tell the truth because that sure kind of.
Why are you putting Emma in that position?
because instead of entertaining the public, I'd rather just fixate on John Gonzalez maybe hearing a 5-minute chunk and getting upset. And
yeah, this is going to happen again today.
Well, real quick, I saw on the social media that you guys are moving, and he was doing all the packing.
He's doing everything.
That's awesome.
While I go to work. And
I have to keep my mind clear for the television.
Bring me my iced tea.
Bing, bing.
All right, let's get to the Q&A. We have about 10 minutes to do it. First up, we have Donald from the East Bay. It says here.
I think I know him.
He favors silver and black. Let's hear from Donald Penn here.
Hey, Dave, I heard you like to eat. And, during the season, I have an eating regimen I have to stick to. So I would like to know, what's your eating regimen during the season?
Donald Penn belongs in my all regular guy looking or physique.
Let me tell you something.
Who plays high end football? Mike Tolbert is the captain of that team.
Oh wow!
He goes out there with a pot belly. I love that.
I would like to see all of the guys on this team. I think you need to fill out.
Oh, you got
a Roethlisberger full
with a pot belly.
Yeah,
Cuddy still back with that. Antonio Gates, next stop Hall of Fame. Make that jack extra loose. Down near the waistline, because he likes that pot belly.
First of all, me and Donald go back a long ways, and we both struggled. Well, I didn't, because I would just eat certain food, but we would have to try to cut weight, and I just go cut weight with him before we'd weigh in on Thursdays. It's awesome.
You have the plastic suits on?
No, you just sit in the sauna and try to sweat out as much as you can.
Why? The coaches weigh you every week to make sure you're maintaining?
Every Thursday, yeah.
I didn't realize every team did that to every player.
You have to have a certain weight that you have to be under.
I would be in so much trouble.
Or depending on who you are, you have to be over. Because there's some guys that lose weight a lot, or they can't hold on weight. So they're you have to be over this weight on Thursdays.
If you're a football guy, it's easy to figure out how to gain weight. But although I do have some special tips if you really want to bump up that the LBs.
No question.
What's your go-to tip?
Beer. Beer and then a milkshake and then three beers and then a milkshake and then four beers. Plus some cheeseburgers mixed in.
Yeah, that's so good.
What is Maurice, what do you do, what special tip for any football players out there might you offer to cut weight dramatically in a 48-hour span?
Well, the first thing is you try not to do that, right? So try to try to eat healthy as much as possible, but if you want to cut weight in a 48-hour span, you have to, on those Wednesdays, you have to wear like a sweat jacket and run as hard as you can. Oh, I think it's Friday's the day we weigh in. Friday's our weigh-in day. So Wednesday and Thursday, you have to run as hard as you can and drink as much water and eat minimal, right?
It's bad. The Wolf, you get to leave. You go out to the East Coast on the weekends, which means you don't have the plate of chocolate chip cookies always in front of you over the course of the weekend.
Thank God.
I gain weight every year of football season. Every because I eat these chocolate.
Let me finish.
Yeah. Booyah here makes those chocolate chip cookies.
So good.
But I don't do that anymore.
They're so hard to say goodbye to.
Colonic.
On Thursday night
will get you where you need to go.
He has told me about this before. This is not the first time that this has come up in conversation.
A colonic is where if you're serious about it, you
I
get
know what a colonic is.
You know what it is?
Yeah, of course I do.
Do the people know? Or should I tell
we
them?
Don't need to know.
It's an enema.
No. Disgusting.
They put a tube.
All right.
They pour warm water into a part of your body. Yeah, and
right.
then you flush it out, and then what happens, it just takes everything out with you, and then you'll probably drop, like, in one session, you'll probably drop, like, 7 pounds.
Is that right?
No question.
All right. Next stop, Colonic for Damashek.
Those sweatsuits that you were talking
about. Real.
So I was a figure skater.
We know
and
that.
And I had to take ballet classes because my coaches told me that I wasn't graceful enough. I was too much of a tomboy. So my ballet teacher
maybe
was
you
this,
need a
like,
colonic.
Super, no. This super strict, like, she was from Russia. And she was very old school, so she made me wear the sweatsuit just the shorts version because she said that my thighs were too big for a ballerina. So everybody else in this like ballet class, they were all like in their little leotards with their buns. I had cut off all my hair, so I had like an Ellen DeGeneres haircut and these like sweatpants. Shorts on
and a Randall Cunningham jersey cut off just above the navel.
Oh, horrendous.
Yo, what's up? What's up, figure skaters?
Basically,
the Wolf's in the house.
That was essentially me. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Horrendous.
How like I have to ask this question because I was a little off topic. But how was that? Like I've never had someone tell me like you're too big. Like I'd be like, yo, watch your mouth.
I know. Well, my mom heard her. She was in the class, and my mom ripped into her after the class, and she was like, "Don't you tell my daughter that her thighs are too big." I was like,
"What's your problem?"
11 years old.
That is outrageous. As
right?
a matter
Put
of fact.
My hands on that lady.
That's crazy. I suggest for Good Morning Football, the weekend edition, that you put on rollerblades and do a figure skating routine. That's a winning idea, isn't it, Maurice?
That's a great idea.
Free of charge. You doing that will be all the payment I need
for
that.
You guys should do it at the roller ring.
Next question comes to us on Twitter from Brent Black. He asks, which current NFL player has the best nickname? The Wolf, how say you?
So he's not a very popular player yet. He's still a rookie. And he actually just played his first game on Sunday from the Dolphins. Defensive end Charles Harris. Do you guys know what his nickname is?
No.
Black Ice. That's from, I guess, when he was at Mizzou. But he says, by the time you see him, it's too late.
Oh.
I love it.
That's clever.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a good one. I don't know any nicknames of people. I saw this question last night.
You want to skip this one? All right.
No,
you know what?
Throw a guy out there. I don't know. Like,
I feel like Big Ben is almost, it's such a good nickname that it's almost not even a nickname because I am too lazy to write out Roethlisberger in my notes. So I always just write Big Ben or Ben.
But if the game is whose nickname is most closely associated with the guy who you can't say the guy's proper name without involving the nickname. By that measure, Big Ben's hard to beat. I know it's lame, though, too, but it works. I like 12-gauge. That's kind of cool.
Who's that?
Cardell Jones. It's in his number. He involves the number in his uniform.
You got to play on the field. You got to play on the field to get that. I mean, I just heard Matty Ice. But it's hard to call somebody Matty Ice when you haven't won the big one.
I agree with that. Right? As I always say with Matty Ice, it at some point will become a permanent ironic nickname for you. It's the same as if Champ Bailey had turned out to be a janitor instead of a high-end pro football player. Yeah. Like, if you're a janitor, hey, Champ, stall three's plugged up. You mind getting the plunger and fixing that? Like that, it feels bad, you know?
So I've been boxing lately, and that's kind of where I've been cutting this weight. And so I go in these gyms, and everyone's called Champ.
Really?
So funny.
Well, if you're all champs, no one's the champ.
Right. So I'm like, dang, like, no one, like, oh, you're undefeated? And you're like, whoa. Like, I don't know. It was amazing. It's eye-opening to that.
Don't even come at me with Tom Terrific or Touchdown Tom.
Nah, I like Captain Checkdown.
Hate it.
That was my favorite one for him because he hated that one.
Emma VP behind the glass. Well, you know what's the – as a matter of fact, see, I can't take – I take a positive spin and turn it negative. Two of the worst nicknames that I can think of. First of all, Aaron Rodgers being A-Rod, when there's already a guy named A-Rod, is super lame, and I've named him the King of the North.
No, that's so we call him AR-12 because he has a rifle on that as an arm.
I don't know. That's okay.
I've messed that up a couple times.
Right.
Gone the other way.
It happens.
I would go, as I've said, I think.
What's Russell Wilson's nickname? Does he have one?
Yes. You know how they like to eat bratwurst up there in Wisconsin? Where the Packers play, his name is Aaron. Aaron Go Brat.
No.
Spinning the Irish thing, you know? What do you mean no? Don't know me.
It wasn't a good one.
It's not. It just doesn't feel natural.
Who like prime
You're
time?
Me
prime
such a
time.
Dirty look.
Prime time is arguably the greatest nickname ever, right? Because he made a song.
Yeah.
And he had a whole different personality with prime time. Like, I guess Beast Mode. We'd That's have to go good. With Beast Mode then.
The sheriff is a phony nickname, too.
No, I don't like
Peyton
that.
Peyton Manning. Like, all of a sudden, in his 17th year in the league, like, oh, by the way, nobody knew. Yeah, that's my nickname. Everybody call me that from now
on. What about poor Doug Martin with
the muscle hands?
Yeah, he doesn't like that. That's what makes a good nickname. You can't give one to yourself. Other people have to apply it to you. We have one more question here, Emma VP. We have a lot of good questions right in front of me, but I guess that means we have more good stuff to get to next week. Let's round it out then with one of the good guys in pro football. He and his brother both doing great stuff. By the way, shout out to Chris Long. I mean, we talk about that. Chris and Kyle Long, two of the great one of the great brother tandems. Chris Long now creating scholarships for people at UVA.
So cool.
Wonderful stuff. And then Michael Bennett doing great stuff as well, and his brother Marty Bennett has his back. Here's a question from one Marty.
Best dressed player in the NFL. Shoot.
I love it. You know, a lot of people, we do fashion popo all the time.
I love that.
Thank you. You know,
you and Ike, it's track funny. It
we,
down.
Yeah, we get it going. Me and Ike, I mean, and I have to say, Cam Newton, he has a different fashion, but his style, I mean, he had some reflective glasses on last week.
Know.
That was just, and he wore sandals. And I don't know if they were team issued or not. But he floated all the
time. Famous Jameis wore Birkenstocks in the preseason.
Ooh. I mean, those are actually kind of trendy now. I don't like them. I'm not a fan.
What is that?
They're like the
leather sandals.
Jesus sandals.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. But I just know Cam Newton, like, and then he made sure his pocket square was just right before he answered any questions.
I mean, go ahead, the Wolf. You weigh in.
He's a fashionable guy, but I feel like he could be dressing a lot better. Like, he could be using his money in better ways in terms of dress.
Right.
Like, I just think it's very eclectic, his look.
Yeah.
I really like, Melvin Gordon has a nice collection. No?
No,
you're not into that?
It'd go Cam, Tyrod, AB.
Ooh, Tyrod. Tyrod's
Throw
a good
little
one.
Odell. You could mix a little Odell in there on some good days.
Didn't Antonio Brown have that suit on?
You got to be bold to
one.
Wear. Yeah, you got to really have confidence to wear that suit.
It was like a geisha girl suit.
I really do defer to Ike and Maurice on the fashion popo. They have their eye on fashion there. I like to analyze the uniforms, the Lions. So to give you my quick review on that. It shows a lack of self-esteem. An NFL football team feels like they need to label themselves. Their shirt sleeves now say Lions on it, like the Browns pants say Browns
on
them.
That's on your radar.
Like, hey, pay attention in case you forgot who we are. We're the Lions.
Like, they're 2-0 right now. You don't.
I know,
it.
But I don't like that. I don't think you need that. Otherwise, strong move back to the Honolulu blue. It looks good. I don't know if I'm sold on the blue pants just yet. But you know what? It looks better than when the uniforms were trimmed with that black. I didn't care for that all that much. So, hey, listen. What I also don't care for is that MVP is back there saying, you gotta rap. Gotta rap. It's time to rap.
Guys. The Around the NFL's got to come in next.
Well, I'm not done talking yet. Tell them to bide their time. Tell them to get a lollipop and share.
Sheck's
going
to have to be physically removed from the studio.
No question.
We got a lot of questions. We have another one here from Mercedes Lewis.
Got to wrap.
Maurice's old friend. All right, we'll do it next time. All right. Colleen Wolf, continue to dominate the airwaves and the television screens and everything else.
Will do.
Out there in New Jersey. Have fun with Ike and the fellas and Steve Smith and everybody. Maurice, you go get them too. You know what? Fly, both of you. Soar.
Release
soar
us.
To the heavens. Like I said last time, when you're coming back down, Dave will still be here waiting on you.
Oh my God.
My guy.
Thin slice of heaven, everybody.